Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my great pleasure to be joined today by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be here.
Welcome back.
Thank you very, very much.
It almost feels like your life is so public over the last month with the blogs.
I know, exactly. It's kind of always a challenge to think, okay, now what am I going to talk about on the Good News Update that hasn't already been said?
Yes. Yes, yes. It's so exciting to read all about it.
Oh, good. Good.
So tell us a little more.
Well, I was just remembering that I think I was on the show just before the trip or sometime not too long before the trip and talking about how excited I was about the possibilities, the folks coming with us and kind of all of that and realizing that it really all panned out even, you know, more than we had hoped, I think. Having a woman from the Sangha come who is just kind of an economics whiz on all levels. She, for her job, she works in microfinance. And then another woman who came with us for some of the time who her job is African development. So just having their perspective on everything that's going on there was extraordinary and really, really helped me to see something that we've suspected all along, which is that the project is so on track and so beyond what so many other projects are able to do because of the way that we're doing it, because of the how of the way that things are done. And,
yeah.
You know, the main piece of that, of course, being the relationship that there is between the two communities as we're going along doing the work.
Yes, 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 yes.
It was really fun because, so we were, the whole trip was, I was gone for about a month. And Sherry was there, the other visitors were there for about 3 weeks of the time. And I was there for the last week on my own. And it was really, really fun because what we did for those 3 weeks is we just did all kinds of visioning and, looking with a team of folks who was visiting, talking with the folks in Cantalomba, just looking at all the different things we could do. And then that last week was implementing all of them. And it was really fun for me to spend time in Cantalomba that last week truly experiencing that relationship, experiencing the piece that makes the project truly transformative. There was this one day where I had some extra time. I can't remember what was. Oh, I was waiting for all the staff to be finished with feeding the kids and doing all that. So I had extra time before we went on to the next thing. And I was outside with a group of kids. And, you know, there are 400-plus kids moving through that property every day. And so, needless to say, I don't know most of their names. But what I realized is that over the years, certain faces have become very, very familiar. So I was standing out with them this one day, and I decided, you know what? Okay, the kids whose faces I really know, I'm going to start to learn those names. That's just kind of how my brain works. I knew that if I could put the name with the face that I would start to really get them.
Yeah.
And so I had them tell me, you know, okay, Susan, I'm Susan, okay, Susan, and then Mary, and then Mary. And then more kids would come up, and they would introduce themselves. And it became this game of, you know, and who am I? Who am I? Remember who I am? And then I go back, oh, yeah, you're Oswald, okay. And so I had about a dozen of the names, and it was so much fun to see that's really the thing that makes the project so extraordinary is the relationship that's happening over time. You know, one of the women who was with us was talking about the woman whose job it is to work in Africa was talking about how she's really interested in staying involved with the project and said she sees a possibility for herself here in this project that she doesn't have available to her in her normal work, which is that she could actually get to know some of these folks. And, you know, so often when it's your job and you're working in development, these are big projects, and the idea is to scale. You know, the idea is to reach, you know, a lot of people quickly. And so there isn't that time to get to know people one-on-one. And, you know, one of the things that's an extraordinary pleasure for me is that, like, when I'm in Cantalomba on the last day of each trip and they're saying goodbye and they're singing and all of that, that I get to say goodbye to each of them individually, and I know everybody's name. And then I realize it's about the people, you know. I mean, there's so much that's happening on a content level. There are hundreds of kids eating every day. There are people who have an income who didn't have an income who are able to support their families. they're living in safe housing. All of, you know, they're getting an education that they weren't able to get before. And it's about those things, and on a very fundamental level, it feels like it's about the individual. It's about Regina. It's about Veronica. It's about Mabel. It's about each person and the transformation that's happening for them and the transformation that's happening for us within that. You know, it's about Jen. It's about Michael. It's about everyone here who's participating in that same way. And so, I don't know, there was something about this trip that just felt like it really brought that home for me, that that's what makes this particular opportunity that we all have in front of us unique, is that it's really a chance to experience an extraordinary form of love, it feels like.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's just great.
One of the other things, sorry, Michael, did you have something to say?
I was just going to say one quick thing, is what you're talking about feels so fundamental to our practice, which is there is no self and other.
Yes, exactly. And everything counts. Everything counts. So we can't get some grand idea of, okay, this needs to happen quickly and it needs to, you know, spread over X. Everything counts. And so the way that we're doing it that's where the love is expressed. It's in how we're doing each little thing. And each person counts. You know, I heard myself say many, many times as we were having conversations over this trip, you know, if it were me, if I were someone, you know, I were someone in Cantalamba and I had children, or I was one of those children, I would want someone to care, you know. I would want someone to come in and, yeah, but it's only one person. Well, every person has to count, or else nothing counts in a way.
Yes.
And it feels like expressing that love in whatever scope we're expressing it. You know, we're this relatively small community in the United States working with this relatively small community in Zambia, and yet what's expressed there is kind of boundless. It's enormous.
Amazing.
One of the things I realize is that how lucky we are that we have Teresa. I mean, we say that all the time. And, you know, of course, we're lucky that we have an extraordinary leader on this side of the ocean as well. We have people who model for us a possibility that many, many people in our own culture don't seem not to have access to. In the case of Teresa, I was talking to her about how, you know, this is actually coming out in the blog, but, oh, well, I'll give it away anyway. But, she's, you know, she's in the NGO world now over there, so she knows people who head up other NGOs, and she's met other funders who come and fund other projects, and that she's realizing that she's unusual in the sense that she really, well, first of all, she's from the community that she's working in, and what's important to her is the people in the community. It's not the money she's making. It's not the status that she gets from it. It's not any of those things. What's important to her is the people whose lives are being impacted. And she said to me, we had lunch one day, and she said, you know, friends will say to her, because she handles an extraordinary amount of money that comes through, you know, to buy the groceries and all that every month, and people say to her, now, aren't you tempted? Aren't you tempted by that? And she said, no. She said, Jen, I have a heart for these people because I'm from there. And I'll never forget that. It just moved me so much because, you know, so often people assume that with a developed project that's happening in Africa, that there's some level of, you know, corruption going on. And it's just so clear that that's not happening in this project. And I'm seeing more and more that that's kind of unique. And it's extraordinary, really. It's a pleasure to be a part of it, that from start to finish, everyone who's involved in it is someone who wants to be there because they care. One of the things that Teresa and the team insist on is that everyone who joins the staff, if you will, who joins the cooperative, I should say, comes as a volunteer, and they work for several months with no pay. They get to eat, you know, their children get to eat, but they don't get any kind of a stipend. And that, Teresa insists on that because to her, that's an indication of finding the people who really want to do it, not people who, oh, okay, this is an easy way to make money, or, you know, this is a way to get by, but this is important to me. I want to be doing this. And so it's an honor to be a part of it, really.
It's an honor to be here listening to all of it. It brings tears to my eyes. It's so amazing, all of it.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm writing something up for the Bridge Walk, which is coming up. I actually think the deadline to sign up is coming up next week, if I'm not mistaken. And I just want everyone to be a part of it in some way or another, to celebrate that, you know, that love, that connection, that relationship, that transformation that we're all being a part of. I just so want everyone, and whatever, whether they come to the event with us on October 2nd, you know, at Chrissy Field, or they order a T-shirt. The T-shirt, by the way, is unbelievable. It's gorgeous. And I'm afraid we might have to spoil the surprise ahead of time to show it to people. I'm not sure. We're still debating that. But it's really quite special. And I feel like it expresses a lot of what we're talking about tonight, kind of the real magic of the project, the thing that makes it so different. So anyway, I invite people to, in whatever way they can, to participate with us in the celebration of everything that we've all done together.
Wow. I've said wow a lot tonight, and that's what occurs to me now, is wow. And the other thing, the word that keeps coming up as you're talking is integrity.
Yes.
And I project a rock of integrity in Teresa,
yep,
and in the guide,
yep,
here,
yep,
and what you bring to it. And to me, that there is so much power in that.
Oh, it is. That is such a good point, Michael. You know, in that same conversation I was having with Teresa, I was telling her how so often the default position for a Western donor, or a Western person who knows about working in Africa, so kind of knows how things can go, I was saying, you know, people have a mistrust. They have a mistrust that funds aren't going to be used properly or whatever. And she said to me, not at all ruffled or offended or, you know, completely didn't take it personally. She just looked at me and she said, oh, well, Jen, you can, I mean, tell anyone, anytime anyone wants to come and look into anything, don't tell me they're coming. They can just come, look at any books, any finances, anything about the project, anything they want to look at. They can come and look through everything. Amazing.
And I know I'm going to repeat myself here, Jen, but I am compelled to tell people how wonderful the blogs are. To me, it's getting a view on the ground as things happen, what you're seeing, what you're hearing from the team members, the photos, the videos. I'm getting a clear view of what's going on.
Well, I think I'm a broken record too, but it's really nice to hear that, Michael, because it's, you know, at the end of a big day, sitting down to blog is, you know, it takes a little bit of willingness, but every time we sit down to do it, we realize, oh, this is so worth it. And it's actually really fun for us to take time to kind of reflect on the day and to pick the pictures. I mean, we have a whole routine now. You know, we get everyone's camera, we download them onto one computer, then we sit together and we pick the pictures and which ones we're going to use. And from there, we kind of craft the story of the day and what happened. And now that we have Moyunda on the team, who is our, you know, friend, our fellow in Africa who's helping us with it, that's a huge help. I was giving some media stuff to Alex, who's putting some ads together and that kind of thing. And he said, well, who took most of the pictures? And I said, I almost didn't take any pictures. Moyunda really took most of them. So, you know, we get out to the property each day, out to Candelome, and he hops out of the car and just starts snapping away those pictures. That's a huge help.
Wow. Wow. Jen, it's great to have you back and to hear your voice live and to hear about all the wonderful work that's going on.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Okay.
All right. Have a great show.
We will. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Excellent, thank you. You know, before we go on to anything else, I just want to say that what we are working on as a project here is trying to help Jen have some enthusiasm for practice and the work that she's doing. Isn't that great to hear? I mean, the excitement is just like, you know, the air is vibrating with,
yes,
it. And it's a thrill to hear somebody so lit up by by what they're doing with their life. It's fabulous. And as lucky as we are to have Teresa over there, we are equally lucky to have Jen here managing everything on this side. Those two gals together, you know, can light up the world. So.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And Jen and you, I did mention that we have a bridge walk coming up.
Saturday, October 2nd at Chrissy Field in San Francisco at 12 noon. Be there.
It's a party.
It's a party.
Good, 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 good.
A couple other announcements, unless you have something more right now.
Ooh.
There's still time to sign up for the workshop in Mountain View with you, Sherry, this Saturday, September 11th. Celebrate the grand opening of the Mountain View Zen Center. And also the next day, Sunday, September 12th, there'll be a yard sale there starting at 9 a.m. People can also find you in New York City at Integral Yoga Institute on October 16th. The next day in Connecticut on retreat from October 17th to the 20th. In San Diego on November 6th. At the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose on November 13th. East-West Bookstore in Mountain View on November 18th. I'm going to have to take a breath here in a moment. And another workshop in Mountain View on December 11th.
Goodness,
it's
great.
All on the calendar on the Living Compassion website. And if you want more information, you can also email information@livingcompassion.org.
That's fabulous. And I'll tell you something else that I'm very excited about right now, and that is that the new book just went off to go from digital to physical, or whatever the transition. It's going to turn into a book that people can hold in their hands in just a few days.
Fabulous. Fabulous. I'm looking forward to reading it.
I'm not, but thank you.
You've been reading it.
I've been reading it. Oh, my Lord, I've been reading it. Yes, I do like it, though. So that's always good. You know, sending your kids out into the world, it's always nice to be able to say, and you know, I like them.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Sherry, we have some callers here. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there? Move on to the next one.
Hello?
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jonathan from England.
Hey, Jonathan. How are you?
Well, all over the place, really. That's why I'm calling.
Why, you're up in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, what's going on is that I'm just under attack so frequently. And, it's very dark, and I'm having difficulty finding anything that I would describe as a mentor. So,
so it's just you and those voices?
I think yes, kind of, but it's also like it's changing so fast. The subjects change, the It's building into a feeling like of just going crazy slowly, bit by bit. It's very unpleasant.
It feels like it's driving you crazy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what is it about it that's driving you crazy?
Well, I mean, I'd have to start going into some content, I suppose.
No, actually not.
Okay.
I'll just jump in and project. It's the what you described as the non-stop nature of it. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. So it goes from content to content to content in a rapid-fire sort of way that kind of leaves you reeling.
Yeah, and I sort of realize that I'm hooked.
That's right. So
yeah, I've stopped what I'm doing to sit and listen to it.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay, good. That's good. And so the fact that it can hook you and involve you is the thing, and that the content changes so rapidly. So it's kind of it's like having a bunch of folks around in a ring punching you, and you reel from one and into the next one and to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one without any relief. Is that the case?
Yeah, and I'm not doing things that I would have done in the past.
Because?
Because I'm trying to do it differently.
I see. You mean you're not doing the escape things that you would have done in the past.
Right.
Okay. And so without those escape or coping mechanisms, which of course never worked anyway, but without those, there's really no relief from what's being done to you.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and so can we agree that the difficulty is that they, the voices, have the ability to grab and keep your attention?
Yes, and I think that there's different parts of me that sort of believe what's being argued, what's being put forward.
Oh, that's really interesting. Do you have a sense from that that the voices go from aspect of you to aspect of you? In other words, a voice will talk to you to a certain part of you about a content that's important to him, and then will move on to another part of you and start a beating about the content that's important to that part of you.
It is like that, but the overall idea is just, I mean, I do realize that the overall idea just seems to be to ruin the day.
Yes. Okay.
And
so let me ask you this. How would you like it to be?
I'd like to have the voices stop, but I realize that's not what's on offer.
Right. And so given that, let's go with another image. You are in a place where every kind of media is going at the same time. So a bunch of people have music playing. There are a bunch of televisions on. People are watching videos. People are talking on the telephone. Okay, it's just bedlam. Can you picture that?
Mm-hmm.
And there you for whatever reason are required to be there. What are you going to do?
I don't know, Sherry, to be honest with you. I don't know whether I would pick something and pay attention to just one thing or.
Okay, here's my suggestion. My suggestion is that you decide what you want to pay attention to. Not from what's being offered externally, and those voices are external. So not you don't have to choose from that menu. You get to choose what you want your attention to be on. So, for instance, one of my very favorite things is a simple yes. Thank you. I love you. It's a great, simple mantra. And it can be said over and over and over, minute after minute after minute, and with willingness and commitment, it's possible to keep all of the attention on a simple mantra like that that gives you the information that you want to have, not information that somebody else wants you to have.
Okay.
Picture it?
I can picture it, yeah.
Now, of course, if you were in that room with all of that noise, you could stick your fingers in your ears and say as loud as you wanted to, yes, thank you, I love you, over and over and over and over. The difficulty with what we're up against with egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate is that the voice is inside your head. And so it's really necessary to learn to turn the attention in a way that effectively drowns out voices that feel like they are as close to you as anything can get, because they're talking inside your head. So I'll give you, you may know this, but the point of this new book that's coming out is that I'm encouraging people to create the message for themselves that they choose to hear instead of those messages coming from the voices in the head. And so you would decide what it is that you want to be listening to. What's the message you want? What do you want to hear? If there were kind, supportive voices in Jonathan's head, what would they be saying? Okay, and you figure out what that is, and then you record those messages, listen to those, instead of listening to the voices.
Yeah, I think I'm just left thinking that it doesn't seem like much of a solution, really.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Now, who said that? Who is hoping that it's not going to work? The image that I've had for that last exchange, from the time that I started doing awareness practice in the monastery where I trained, and I would be there, and I would watch people come in and ask questions, and then argue for it not working. And I would think, that's so not me. You know, I'm out in the middle of the ocean in a rubber raft. The last thing I want to do is poke holes in it, because I'm hoping this thing is going to hang together till I get to a shore somewhere. You with me?
Yeah. It's just taking a lot of grit, I think, to stay with myself through this.
Well, I think what you could get out of that is the enemy is a lot closer than you think. In other words, the reason that it seems like kind of an iffy solution is that the person that you're identified with now, the person in quotes that you're identified with now, is egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
I have had periods when it has changed and I haven't identified with it.
That's right. And so
I have had that. I think one of the things that I'm finding it hard to get used to is that I'm not in the driving seat with that. It's not like I see how the identification shifts yet, you know?
Well, here's the
how
thing.
It sort of shifts around the different it's just difficult at the moment, I suppose. It's just
No. It's actually not. It's that the person you're identified with, the orientation that you're identified with, says it's difficult.
Okay.
That's not the same as it's difficult. This stuff has to be maintained. And the only way it can be maintained is by us giving it our attention. If you don't give it your attention, it ceases to exist. So you have absolute power over your life. What you need to look at, and I would say begin to get clear about, is what it feels like when you are identified with center, with a deep desire and willingness and commitment not to suffer. And when you're identified with egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, in that place of, oh, I can't do it, it's too hard, it's too much, it's just overwhelming, I don't. And when you start hearing that language inside your head, it's not you. It's it. And the fastest way to extricate yourself is to turn your attention to information that tells you who you authentically are, what you want, what's available to you. And it's as close as a simple little mantra such as the one I mentioned a bit ago.
Yeah, thank you.
You can say thank you. You can just say thank you. You can say thank you and start through a list of everything in your life that works, that you're grateful for. Before you know it, you will have shifted out of that identity into here, now, this, into gratitude, and you'll realize that, wow, that wasn't hard.
Yeah, I've got a massive gratitude list.
Pardon me?
I've got a massive gratitude list.
I would encourage you to turn all of your attention to that list. Don't stop until you're grinning. Okay?
Okay.
Let me know.
I will.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe and hear from Sangha Market.
Excellent.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.com. O-R-G.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back to Open Air.
Speaking of which, Michael,
yeah.
I think it's possible on Sangha Market to get the Voices cartoon t-shirts.
Absolutely. You can.
I did it myself.
Great.
Very cute.
Very cute. Yes, very fun. And to me, what the Voices does is it really makes visual what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. And just puts it right into perspective, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, I mean, once you start to see those voices in your head, it's those little fat, funny characters, it helps with disidentification. Helps a lot.
Yes, yes. And there was a recent cartoon that came out where we had an opportunity to fill in what the voices were saying.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. So people can go to the website and check all of those things out, too. If they missed that cartoon, they can still find it.
Yes, indeed.
Very good.
Great. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you, thank you. Very good to be back.
Yeah, well, you had a hard journey, it sounds like. Really enjoyed your blog, by the way. That was really something. I got a lot out of seeing that.
Oh, good. Yeah. We sometimes forget that that's what we're here for, is to keep going.
Yeah, it's that stuff in the middle that one of the writings, and you know, the sitting still piece, I think, talks about that we're going after. And I actually recorded that. I read last time I was at the monastery. I read part of that onto my recording. That, you know what I'm talking about? The stuff in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to it every morning when I'm out jogging, and it's so great when that part comes on because I'm just dying to get back to the house, you know, and then I hear my own voice saying, and it's really the stuff in the middle that we're going after.
Oh, yes.
Good timing for that. But I wanted to look at this process, and I was really following closely along with how you're working with Jonathan, because it feels like some of those good questions that you asked him could apply. But what's happening is this roller coaster of energy builds up and then energy drains away. Energy builds up and it's very dramatic. I mean, that's sort of the whole pattern of conditioning, but lately I've been experiencing it in a pretty dramatic way, and it feels like I'm just wanting to get off this roller coaster, or maybe another image is sort of like a bumper car. You know, you're driving along, and then all of a sudden you just hit this wall. You know, I do.
And so, what kind of is it a predictable timeline at this point?
I tell you what's predictable about it is it follows on the heels of my feeling very open and disidentified.
Oh.
And yeah. You know, it's like I had a really good experience writing the other day, and just a fabulous experience. And then today I'm just feeling so down in the dumps, and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, I could have predicted that was going to happen.
Okay, then that's where you want to go, isn't it? In fact, I would encourage you to combine those two events so that you are watching for this process and writing about it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I think, you know, what it is I go unconscious when I'm so feeling good, you know.
Exactly. my poetic little way of talking about it is there's no faster trip to self-hate than happiness. Right, because of exactly what you're saying. I'm just so happy. I just feel so great. Why would I want to pay attention? Boom.
Yeah. And you know, I've been really training myself for a long time to let those voices of self-hate bring me back to the breath. You know, let those be the triggers. But I'm not really very practiced on letting those good feelings and sensations bring me back to the breath or something, you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you're really hitting on such a deeply conditioned process that, you know, all of us get. You pay attention when things are going badly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when everything is fine, that's the time to go unconscious.
Yeah. And the question that just arose as you're saying that is, and how does that happen? You know, that's, how does that happen?
So, that's perfect, isn't it? If you can chart that, the steps in that, from, I just had this great expansive time to, oh God, that's going to be very helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, one thing that's just coming up, and I mean, just put it out there to see if this is on the right track or whatever, is the answer, one answer that is that I talked about it. You know, like, let me see what it's saying. It's like, I just recently got a writing coach and started working with this person, and I've just been talking about it a lot, and that seems, like maybe I want to rethink that, whether I want to do that or not, because it seems to be sort of opening the door for dissipating a lot of that energy, maybe.
You mean you're talking about it with the coach, or you're talking about the coaching with other people?
The latter. I'm talking about the coaching with other people.
Oh,
I'm so excited.
Yep, it's just like coming off retreat, right?
Yes, it is. It's exactly like that, yeah.
And so then, of course, when you've given all that energy away, and because there isn't anything building it, you're going to wind up feeling depleted.
Yeah, that is so good to see. And so, you know, it's like there's a part of me that's like, oh, I kind of already knew this. I wanted it to be something really profoundly new and different.
Yeah. As if there were anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, this is good. And okay, and so what you said that was combine them and sort of and write about this process.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And not to assume, I mean, I'm sure you're right that talking about it is a huge piece of it, but not to accept that as an easy answer, but stay with it, because what happens when you talk about it? And that's only one piece of it, but to look at that one piece, what happens? What's the energy like? What goes on with it? What you put something out there when something like that comes back? What happens when something like that comes back? When nothing comes back, what happens? What? So you're really going to dissect the whole thing.
Yeah, and who's talking about it? And what was happening right before that decision was made to talk about it? And like that.
It's interesting just in breaking it down like that, because, of course, what we get a chance to see is that so many different folks with different goals are involved. So the person who wants to talk about it probably technically actually doesn't have anything to do with the experience. Mm-hmm. Is not the one who writes, is not the one who gets excited about writing, or, you know, is just someone who wants to talk about something that is fun, exciting, interesting. Could be somebody there who, you know, wants to impress somebody else, wants to connect with somebody else. There can be so many motivations that don't have anything to do with your writing. And yet the one who writes, the one who has that opening, expansive experience, is the one who loses the experience, the energy, loses the energy in somebody else's need to accomplish whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, yeah. And then what, you know, and one last thing is that I'm seeing now, as you're saying that it's not only the writer that sort of loses, well, maybe not even the writer at all, but there are all kinds of others that lose out on that process happening. So, you know, I'm seeing a lot of my volunteer work slipping. I'm seeing, you know, watching more TV, and I'm seeing there's just like everybody suffers in some way this process.
Yeah, yeah. Once that opening is made, then all of this other stuff starts slipping in. And it's the hardest part about practice is that piece of who's talking? Who is this? So the decision is made to watch television. You know, if we're not paying pretty close attention, it's just, it's just the way I feel. You know, I'm tired. And so there's this whole conversation that goes on about that. But if we train ourselves to say, who's talking? You know, what's going on with that? Why are you talking me into watching television? Then there's a chance to bring conscious awareness to the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just me, and that's just what I want to do.
Yeah, and sometimes that's with quite an attitude that gets said, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's me, you know. And the irony of it is that process that you're just describing is, to me anyway, is infinitely more interesting than anything that's on TV.
Oh, precisely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you could turn it into a little drama if you wanted to expand your writing into little screenplays.
Yeah. Wow, that's good.
All right.
Well,
your
thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be right back.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
It's been more than 6 weeks.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Actually, it's been 5 weeks, well, since I talked to you, but I've remained more or less faithful to the regimen.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. This is kind of funny. I spoke 5 weeks ago with Melinda.
Oh,
and I got some homework, and then I didn't do it until I'll explain in a second. But and then so in the last week or so, it's been, oh, geez, you know, I really ought to do that because I'm going to be calling the show next week. I don't want to call and see, I didn't
what if
know,
you
but...
got Melinda again and she remembered?
I know.
Yeah.
No, so I was going through some lower back pain issues, and there was a part of me who was just sort of projecting wildly onto the future, and, you know, I'll never be able to do this again and do that again, and that kind of thing. And I was the guy who needed some help. And then within a couple of days of the phone call, I started to get better, and so I didn't actually go in and do all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So.
But good to do anyway, huh?
Yes, it is. It is. And I will return to that.
You know, there are just so many interesting aspects of practice, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that kind of harkens back to the conversation with Jonathan. You know, so I injure my back, and the voices start in, oh, well, I'm never going to be able to do this, and it's never going to get better. And it's like, what? And yet we tend to fall for it time and time and time again,
mm-hmm.
failing to see how ardently they are hoping for our failure and defeat.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, anyway, back pain is, that's always been an easy one to fall for it for.
Uh-huh.
And it's, last many years, last 5-6 years, I've been okay. And then this, I had a thing that was different this time around, and that was really threw a wrench in things. But I am getting better, so, and that's a good thing. But I know there's still somebody down there who, well, I don't know. Yeah, there's still somebody down there, though, who does fret about the future, about those mobility kinds of things.
Well,
go ahead.
Here's, you know, to me, everything is a spiritual opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we've ever had this conversation, but I was like 27 and pretty young and strong, and I did the classic leaned over and picked up something really heavy and tried to lean back again, and the next thing I knew, I was just writhing around on the ground, screaming in agony,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, crawled to the bathroom for weeks, slept on the floor. It was hideous, and I was not a meditator at that point, not mm-hmm. a serious meditator. So it was a couple of years later when I got serious about it, and I realized that if I were going to be able to meditate for the rest of my life and do the things that I wanted to do with practice, I needed to have a really strong back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the inspiration for fitness. And the whole thing focused on, I will do whatever is required to take care of my body so that I can practice the way I want to practice for as long as I'm alive. And so I've, along with depression, I've always felt that tendency toward, you know, that's sort of the weak link in my body at this point, since that point, that those have been such dear friends to me on the spiritual journey because they don't allow me to drift off, lose attention, fall asleep. I have to take care of myself or I'm not going to be able to stay in the position that I'm in with my practice.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I don't have to worry about the future, do you know? Because I'm going to be devoted to taking care of myself in such a way that it's no matter what happens, it's going to deepen my practice.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I like that. No matter what happens, it's going to deepen your practice.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, I think I have to write that one down. I like that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, the phrase I've heard many times, of course, is doing everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer. That's one way, but I like the way this one's phrased.
Yeah.
I think I just forgot it, though. That's okay. We got the archives.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So anything that causes us, you know, all of the time that I might spend worrying about something, I could spend attending to what I want instead. So rather than allowing conditioned mind to program me to for its benefit, my failure, I can use that same time, energy, attention, awareness to reinforce what it is that I choose instead.
Yes. Oh,
so
good.
I'm giving my body constant messages of its strength and flexibility and fitness and well-being, rather than allowing conditioning to give it endless messages about, oh, God. Because it will if we let it.
Oh, I know it. Yes. Oh, that's great. Awesome.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. What else is going on?
Just going through a lot of changes around the house in a lot of different areas, financially and landscaperly, is that a word? The landscape outside is we're changing and doing some different things with our home loan. And then the kids going back to school tomorrow and just noticing all the different opportunities of all these different contents and all the different kinds of conditioning they can raise up, and that's the whole change in general. And noticing old patterns pop up that I've done before many times, and some new ones as well. I was talking with my effective listening buddy about that yesterday, and it was just really interesting to see all these new and old contents pop up with, in regards to all these different things.
Yes, and the way you put that together is always really interesting to me. So the seasons are changing,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I mean,
that too.
Yeah, you can sort of feel it. It just one day you begin to feel that shift.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that triggers. So, you know, going back to school and the weather changing and the temperature being different and the light is different and all of the conditioning that goes with each one of those factors, most of which we do not attend to. You know, because conditioned mind would like us to believe that everything is the same all the time, even though it's screaming about change and resisting change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it is a particularly fertile ground
mm-hmm.
for conditioning.
Yeah, and it's neat this time in regards to some of the older patterns of, like, working on a garden bed. Okay, that's what I'm working on this time, and then seeing the distractions of, I really need to clean the garage out, or I really need to do this other thing, or, you know, this garage bed needs to be, it's not perfect in some way. I need to go do more research on how deep should it be. I mean, just all the ways like that, which just completely pull me off or try to pull me off from drilling this or hammering that and not falling for it, actually.
Yes, yes. The beauty of watching all of those tendencies arise and not going with them and staying with the enjoyment of the awareness rather than the conversation about how this shouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you
yeah.
know, you should be farther along, or why are you still listening to, and it's like, wow, this is great.
It is, and it is great. And what I'm using actually is a story you related once in the archives about how you told somebody at a workshop who wanted to buy a house, and they were a couple of years away from even being close to having enough money, and you gave the encouragement to see everything as owning the house,
yeah.
going to work, or saving this bit of money, or doing that. And that person, I think the person, as I recall the story, said, "You're crazy."
Right out there in the middle of the workshop. Yes, I'll never forget it. It was quite a moment.
But I'm looking at that because this is, you know, I've never done any real gardening, and these beds are going to be my first attempt. And and growing some food and stuff, and it's and while I may have ideas about what I want to do way down in the future, this is my attempt at that now, and everything I'm doing now is doing that other thing later.
Yes, this is all the garden. And
yes.
And when you pick that first tomato or that first pepper or whatever it is, it's going to contain everything that you have put into helping it come into existence. And yeah, there's not a single moment of it that isn't just critical, and if we're looking at it that way, really fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so thank you for that story from however many years ago that was.
Oh, yeah.
I'm keeping that one with me.
Yeah, good. All right. I'm glad to hear you're doing well.
I am. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
All right, and thanks for the remotivation there, and I'll talk to you in not too long.
In a few weeks.
Yes.
All right. Good night.
Good night, Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth. How are you?
Well, I guess I'm alive.
All right. That's a great place to be, isn't it?
My dad died this week. And I recognize that that's content. So it's been a pretty interesting kind of practice place.
It's content with a lot of process involved, right?
Yeah, just seeing huge amounts of my karma.
Yeah.
My interactions with people, the way I want to connect with people, you know, it's just seeing, you know, like how deep the roots go.
Uh-huh.
To karmic patterns. How I immediately assume somebody's gone as soon as we meet.
That you assume what? I'm sorry.
It's just one of my strong karmic patterns of I don't really believe in people.
Uh-huh.
I know I'm all over the place. I have this like really strong urge to connect with people, and then when I do, I abandon.
So you connect and then bail.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, the only way we can keep karma alive is to indulge it. And the only way we can keep egocentric karmic conditioning appearing to be real is to attempt not to be that.
This was also something that I have done my entire life, and I just realized it yesterday.
Wow. That's a big day. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there's kind of like that moment of seeing, and then there's kind of that, you know, like 24 hours later, it's the experience and the experiencer, not the same people.
And how is that now?
Well, I can still feel the desire, the strong desire to connect.
Well, connecting isn't the problem, right?
Yeah, no, it's not really connecting, though. It's like, craving.
Well, even that doesn't sound like the problem that abandoning is.
Yeah.
So, of course, egocentric karmic
conditioning. Particularly because the one that I'm abandoning is me.
Yeah, so egocentric karmic conditioning is going to want to point you in the direction of the thing that is not the problem and give you that as a problem to solve. Right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So if the work that you're doing is on not abandoning, then as you've just pointed out, Beth will be the one who is not abandoned.
Yes. Yes.
You know, saying yes to life is never a problem. Saying no to life is always a problem.
What am I saying yes to?
You're saying yes to whatever life brings up.
Even if I don't like it.
Well, that's the saying no.
Yes.
Because
I see that.
Yeah, because the I who doesn't like it only doesn't like it in order to attempt to appear to be separate from it and keep its illusory little existence going.
Yes. And lonely in the little closet.
Happily. Happily. Can you see that?
I can.
Yeah. Karma is, you know, loves nothing better than maintaining itself. So if the karma is to be alone, lonely in a closet, well, then it's actually quite happy when that karma is being fulfilled. And,
yep.
And part of that happiness comes from complaining and saying, I wish it weren't like this, and oh, my God, what's the matter with me, and am I ever going to get over this? You know, that's all part of the same process.
It's all part of the same process.
All part of maintaining the karma of alone, lonely, and in a closet. I mean, think about it. If all of a sudden you heard a voice, there, you know, the story is, here I am, I'm all alone again. Oh, my God, I'm all alone. And then you heard the person say, God, and I'm so glad, I'm so happy, because this is who I really am. I love this. You'd go, whoa. Wait.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But as long as the story fits the story, then we can all believe, oh, yeah, this is terrible. I don't want this. This is not how I want my, huh. Well, that's funny because I keep choosing it.
Again and yet again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can see, I mean, and it's like in seeing it, there's like a breaking through.
Yes.
And then there's kind of a story about it.
Yes. Yes. And so if we can get to that place of, you know, I'm actually not trying to get anywhere except awareness. It doesn't actually matter what anybody's saying, feeling, doing, thinking. It doesn't matter. There's nothing to figure out. There's nothing to do. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just aware. That's when we begin to see karma for what it is.
The trap that I'm kind of feeling at the moment kind of is wanting to protect myself.
And it's, I always find it comforting to remember there is no such thing.
There is no such thing.
There is only life. And in this case, it's manifesting as this form we call Beth. Okay? And there is nothing about life that you need to protect from life.
Even facing whatever.
Whatever. It creates it. It can face it.
That's another huge one.
It is.
It's the warrior's path.
Yep. And one of my favorite quotes that I always mess up, as I mess up every quote, is the one about why do we suffer? Because 99% of everything we do is for the self and there isn't one.
I've been feeling pretty real in the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. I has been feeling real. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow. Nothing I can get my head around, that's good too.
You know, do you have the ability to watch a DVD?
Not at the moment, but I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, when you have a chance, The Truman Show would be...
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Would be a good one to check in with again.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's such an excellent portrayal of what we're up against.
Yes,
right?
Somebody...
Karma is the writer, the producer, the director, the set decorator, okay?
Yeah.
We believe in it.
Yep. And why not? Because, you know, we were born that way. I mean, we were raised to it.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, kind of a good little koan can be something, or not a koan so much as a mantra, you know, to just walk around and go, wow, this is not actually real. This is not real. This is a perception. This is a projection.
Ha.
It's a projection.
It's a projection.
It's a perception. It's a projection. But it's not real. All the meaning that's being put on it is made up.
I'm not going to survive this.
Yeah, just to kind of remind yourself with some regularity that, wow, all those voices making a case for this. Huh, why are they working so hard to make a case for this? Well, because it's not actually true.
It's not actually true.
All right. You've got your mantra and your assignment, huh?
Yep. I'm no longer real.
That's right. There's no such thing as an I.
There's no such thing as an I. But I am left with thank you.
Yes. Thank you. I love it.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I also have a list of thank yous here.
Mm-hmm.
Our many callers, our many listeners,
mm-hmm.
this practice,
yep.
Antalumba Project,
yep.
the monastery,
yes.
the guide,
all those
Michael.
Mm-hmm. Michael. Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on and
yep.
on.
So much to be grateful for.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.